Welcome to another episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast. I'm Brittany Nicole, a career and life coach, and it's literally my job to help people reach their goals. I have been wanting to do this episode for probably about a year, but I've been sitting and trying to understand the topic of jealousy from multiple angles. I think my own experiences with jealousy were coloring my point of view. And whenever I talk about something, I try to understand it not just from my point of view, but from multiple points of views. So I had to really sit and like do some digging and do some social anthropology. A lot of it by way of conversations with people, but also a lot of it by way of like social media and looking at people's comments and stories. And, you know, I was really curious, and this is going to sound funny, but I'm serious. I was really curious about like what it feels like to be a hater. What does it feel like to be a hater? And it was a foreign concept to me. I have definitely felt like jealous in that, you know, maybe somebody had something or was in a place in their life where I wanted to be. But that is not the same thing to me as being a hater. There's a part of being a hater that's like, not only am I jealous of the thing that you have, but I don't want you to have it. And I cannot relate to that. I really cannot relate to the feeling of not wanting somebody to have something just because I want it. Because, you know, who says that I can't have it too? Like, that's just the way I operate. So I say all of that to say, this discussion, I'm trying to bring a multi-pronged approach to what jealousy is and how to navigate haters and success, because one seems to just exist with the other. And so we'll go into what that is about, what that process is about. So here's a little summary of what we're talking about today. We're going to be discussing what is jealousy, the anatomy of a hater, why does success come with jealousy, and what are some things that we can do about it? So let's start off with, I'll just call this chapter one, what is jealousy? So here's my official definition. This is not going to be in anybody's dictionary that you find. This is the Brittany Nicole definition of jealousy. So I call jealousy an emotional response triggered by the belief that another person's existence is proof of your own inferiority. So here's what I mean. When you are jealous of someone, you make a comparison between yourself and another person, and you put that person on a pedestal above you. When I was researching this, I did a lot of digging in the comments on the topic of pretty privilege. And it really just crushed my soul to hear people describe the way that they reacted to people that they perceived as more attractive than them. There was a lot of admitting of like, when I see someone who is more attractive than me, it makes me feel like I'm nothing. I remember watching this TikTok video from a girl who, she was like, she's a comedian, and sometimes comedians say things that are extreme just to get reactions and provoke people's thoughts. So some of this might be a little hyperbole, but I think there's always some truth in jest. And what she was saying is that people who are too attractive are ugly to her. Like, you hit a certain threshold of your attractiveness to where you can no longer be perceived as attractive by her. And it wasn't even that video. It wasn't so much what she was saying in the video that I found like slightly disturbing and partly sad. But also made me deeply curious, is the comments. And one of the comments, a girl said that she saw this guy at Trader Joe's who was like fine. He was so fine to her that it pissed her off. Like, he was so good looking to her that she was angry. And it wasn't just that he was good looking that made her angry, but she said specifically she was upset that he was attractive. And he was a regular person in Trader Joe's on a Tuesday. Like, if he was a celebrity on the red carpet and she was watching him on TV, that would have been acceptable for her. But for her to see somebody who's that attractive in real life on a regular, regular day and a regular, regular place like Trader Joe's, it just made her feel so inferior about herself and her own appearance and her own worth and her own attractiveness that it made her angry. And this is what is happening inside of a person who is jealous of you, is they're putting you on a pedestal above them. And it's that comparison between you and them and the inferiority that comes out of that comparison. So a hater fundamentally believes that the fact that you exist means that they are not good enough. Let that land on you for a second. A hater is upset at the fact that you exist. Your very life is an offense to them, which is scary. We say hater so often that we forget how powerful a feeling of hatred is. Hatred is an intense feeling of dislike or aversion or even hostility towards someone or something. And it's the kind of emotion that can lead to animosity. It can lead to violence. It can lead to the desire to destroy something. And like, if you think about what hatred feels like in your body, there's even a biological response that goes along with that feeling of hatred. It triggers your stress hormones. The feeling of hatred can cause you to tense your muscles. It can cause digestive issues. It can affect your ability to sleep. Like, hate is not a blasé emotion. It's powerful and it's dark. Somebody who's hating on you would actually rather you not exist. Here's where it gets creepy to me. Not only is somebody who's hating on you offended by the fact that you exist, but simultaneously, you're actually very important to them. You are so important to them. I know, it's confusing because it's giving very much obsessed. I don't want you to exist. Well, I do want you to exist. I just want to be you and I don't want you to be yourself. I find that to be dangerous and scary because what that makes me feel like is you would prefer my identity belong to you than to belong to me. And if that's the thoughts that you're thinking in your head secretly, I don't need you around. I don't need you around me. I don't know what you're capable of. So one thing I want to say is this, and I was really, really oblivious to this. I always thought it was a positive thing when people copied me. Like, oh, they like me. They think I'm cool. They think my style is cool, or they think whatever I'm doing is cool. What I'm talking about is the kind of scenario where somebody copies you, but they don't give you credit for the thing they're copying you on. As a matter of fact, maybe they even tried to discourage you from doing the thing that you were doing or wearing the thing that you were wearing or being the way that you're being. But then you notice them trying your style on. You notice them trying your personality on. You notice them trying your hobbies on. That, my friend, is a hater. Now, I want to say something about longing for things that you don't have. I think it's very human to want things that you haven't gotten a chance to get yet, or even to have doubts in yourself that you might be able to have the things that you desire. I think it's very human to be disappointed when you go after things that you want and that you don't get. And even like, let's say, you know, you and your friend are on a team and you both try out for a certain position and the friend gets it and you don't. Like, of course, I think it's fair to be disappointed in those type of situations. It's not the disappointment. What is uncalled for is the entitlement. Why do you believe that you deserve what they have? Why is your mentality not, instead of I deserve it, what do I need to do to acquire what they have? Really, the fatal flaw in their thinking is that they, one, feel entitled to have something that they haven't earned, and two, they don't believe they can have it. So instead of taking some accountability about what resources they have, what limitations they have, what they can do and what they can't do, they just decide it's much easier for me to be a powerless victim and to make you the villain in my life. It's easier for me to do that than it is for me to look at myself and do what it takes for me to have what the thing is that I really want. And the other thing about jealousy is, like, a lot of times, whether you're jealous of someone or someone is jealous of you, it's like a surface thing. You think you see what you want, but you have no idea the context of what that relationship is actually like or what that job is actually like. So I think that the proper way to use jealousy is to allow it to be a teacher that points you to your authentic desires and to get curious about it, but to feed it, to water it, to, you know, allow it to just fester and grow. It's unhelpful, it's immature, and quite frankly, it's lazy. Okay, so we talked about what jealousy is, we talked about what hating is, and the entire mindset of what a hater really believes. Let's talk about, why does success always seem to come with jealousy and haters? And sometimes a call be coming from in the house. Why is that? So my theory and my experience and what I notice in my life with my friends, family, clients, etc., there is an interesting thing that happens when you start to change who you are. And I don't think we talk about change the way that I think we should talk about it, as a grieving process. And this could be the goth in me. I have a very dark sense of humor. But when I think of change, it's this process of one identity that dies and another identity being born and taking shape. And so when you change from one thing to another, whether that's you got promoted or you got married or you changed careers or you became a mother, when you change from one role to another, one identity to another, everyone, including yourself, goes through a grieving process. It's like dying and becoming someone new. Now, a positive reaction to that might include confusions or questions or curiosity, but there should be a sense of support, like, oh, wow, this is okay. You're changing. Well, tell me about who this new person is, and wanting to engage with that. That's somebody who probably has their own, probably has a healthy relationship of their own with growing. But somebody who is afraid themselves to grow, is afraid themselves to change, when you change, they're not going to be supportive. They're going to be scared. What are you doing? Like, who are you becoming now? I don't recognize this person anymore. I think that grief is obviously very nuanced. You know, different people grieve different ways. And I do believe that there's a space for giving people grace as they adjust to the new you. What's not okay at all under any circumstances, and I have no patience for, is people who don't want you to grow. People who do not want you to go through that rebirthing your identity process. First of all, that's a natural part of life. If you stayed the way that you were the entire time that you were on this planet, you'd be a baby. Like, the growth is a part of the human experience. Anybody who does not want you to grow wants to limit your ability to be human. And so the question to ask if this is happening is, how are they benefiting from me not becoming a better version of myself? And the answer is probably some form of, if you don't grow, then they can continue feeling equal to you. Or if you don't grow, they can continue feeling superior to you in their mind. It goes back to that comparison. No healthy person is going to want inauthenticity for you. No healthy person is going to want you to shrink yourself or to go backwards rather than growing and becoming the best version of yourself. So I hate to break it to you. I really do. But people who don't want to see you do what's best for yourself, they don't like you. They don't like you. People who don't want to see you grow don't like you. People who downplay your accomplishments don't like you. And I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't care the relationship. This could be your mama. It could be your best friend. It could be your spouse, your uncle, your cousin, your coworkers, your boss. It doesn't matter. It is possible to love someone and not like them. And that might be confusing, because your mama might love you and not like you. Your sister might love you and not like you. Your boss might think that you are an amazing team member and not like you. So let's not get confused by that. Somebody who doesn't want to see you become the best version of yourself,
They don't like you, friend. They don't like you. And more importantly, they really don't like themselves. People who genuinely like themselves. People who wake up in the morning and are like, damn, I get to be me again today. It feels good to be me. It's exciting to live my life feeling like I am who I want to be. People who have that kind of relationship with themselves want other people to experience that too. So I really hate to break it to you. Whoever in your life does not want you to be the best version of yourself, they don't like you. Okay, so how do we navigate this? Because this is a mess. My advice, and this is coming, I would say, from a lot of my own experience with this, is kind of a logical approach and kind of an intuitive approach. Last episode, I talked about what resonance feels like. The feeling of resonance, I describe it as feeling at ease and excitement at the same time, like in a flow state. So my advice, part of it is you need to study that feeling. You need to look out in your life, the environments that you're in, the people that you're around, the things that you're doing when you're in a state of flow. Who are the people in your life who you can have a conversation with barely any words and just eye contact, and you know exactly what they're saying and they know exactly what you're saying? That's resonance. What are the situations where you find yourself doing something and you're so engaged that time just flies by and you don't even realize it? That is resonance. So study that feeling of resonance. Figure out what it feels like. Then you want to study the opposite feeling, which I'm going to call incongruence. Incongruence is like a feeling of discomfort, almost like wearing a sweater that's too tight. Or if we're making this like an emotional, psychological thing, let's say your number one value is honesty and you just told a horrible lie and you feel guilty inside because you did not act congruently with what you value. So we talked about resonance, which is the feeling of like flow and harmony. Now we're going to do a study of the feeling of incongruence. Pay attention to the scenarios where you're like, well, this person is nice, but that thing they said was a little bit off. The reason that this is such an intuitive process, unfortunately, is because the thing about haters is they're not going to tell you, hey, by the way, I'm checking you out, but not because I like you, but because I hate you and I want to be like you. They're not going to tell you how they really feel about you because they're actually obsessed with you, and that's embarrassing. They're going to be nice and fake and talk about you behind your back. So how you physically feel when you're around them, your emotional reactions when you're around them, like the more intuitive type of data that I can't give you a strictly logical metric for, you're going to have to rely on that a little bit when you're in those scenarios because they're not going to be honest. All right, so let's sum all of this up, and here's what I want you to take away. I've said a lot of words, but just remember these, if nothing else. Somebody who's jealous of you is offended by the fact that you exist. And the feeling of resonance is a good metric to figure out who in your life you need to weed out or who you need to set boundaries with. So that's all I've got for you today. I want to tell you about two resources that I have if this episode is hitting in particular. I have a self-coaching workbook that I call the Brag Book. It's available on Amazon. This is a journal that has over 100 prompts that'll help you to acknowledge and refill your confidence in certain areas of your life. The world is constantly telling you to question yourself, that you're not good enough, and it's good to counteract that. So the self-coaching journal I'm talking about is called the Brag Book. I'll have a link in the show notes for that as well. Also, I recently updated my resource library, and this is called Adulting School. So in Adulting School, I've got different exercises, self-coaching exercises, videos, workbooks, and guides. I've even got some cool ChatGPT prompts that you can use as reflective exercises, all available for free in Adulting School. If you are a fan of this podcast or this type of content, then you'll enjoy the resources that I am putting together for you there. I'm going to be continuing to add to Adulting School. So go to coachbrittanynicole.com/adultingschool to get access to those resources. Okay, I am going to get me some juice because I am thirsty. And I want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Coach Brittany Nicole podcast, and I'll talk to you soon.